Welcome to the One Wyoming Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Thorburn. You can follow me on Twitter at @by_RyanThorburn. Make sure you go to gowyo.com and bookmark the Pokes Insider page to get all of my coverage of the Pokes. We're having a series reviewing all of the football positions from the spring that's ongoing and a lot of other stuff. It's track season right now, so I'm pleased to be joined by Quincy Howe, longtime track coach at Wyoming, associate head coach, but also in the UW Athletics Hall of Fame. Quincy, I think you still hold the triple jump records at Wyoming, and you were, you know, on the Mountain West's 25th anniversary team. That had to be quite an honor for you to get that.
Well, Ryan, thanks for having me. It has been quite an honor, being that, you know, it's been 25 years and a lot of high caliber athletes have come through the conference. Being selected was a great honor.
Of course, you know, multiple time All-American during your time at Wyoming. Take me back to that time. How did you end up in Laramie from your home country of Trinidad?
Well, that's I'll make it a short story. I competed back home in Trinidad, and there's a competition. It's a region-wide competition of all high school-aged kids called Carifta Games, and I placed pretty well there. It's a hotbed for recruiting. I placed fourth in the triple jump as well as the hurdles, and that kind of got my name around recruiters in America and American universities. So that's where I initially was discovered, so to say. And then it was a situation where, you know, island life is great, but if you want to do other things, you gotta get off the island. So Wyoming afforded me that opportunity to go to college and continue in track and field. So that's a short answer.
What is the culture shock like coming from the Caribbean to Laramie, Wyoming? It's not just the United States. It's small town U.S., and obviously the weather is the complete opposite of what you grew up in.
For sure. Well, two things. Growing up, especially back then, no, very limited internet, stuff like that. My view of America is New York, Miami, Philadelphia. So I'm thinking of everything in America is like New York, Miami, and Philadelphia. So when coming out to Wyoming, it was a big shock. I remember that first night. I'm like, where are the buildings? Where are the people? so that was a big shock. And in terms of the weather, I still remember those first couple weeks. You know, everyone's enjoying a beautiful fall in Laramie, and it's 80 degrees out and I'm freezing. So those two examples of the contrast that I experienced coming in.
What is it about Laramie, though, that you've been here almost two decades as an athlete and a coach? You know, you started your coaching career as a GA here. What do you like about the program and the community that's kept you here? I'm sure, you know, a lot of guys probably would apply for jobs in Arkansas or California or wherever if they didn't like the cold.
Well, the first thing is, well, not the first thing, but being able to travel as a coach and being to campuses all over this country, I do appreciate what Laramie has to offer and what the university campus has to offer. There aren't, in my experience, there aren't very, very many campuses that affords you the true campus experience. It's beautiful here, and sometimes you don't appreciate it until you've been to a bunch of other campuses. So there's that. And being able to help my alma mater has always been important to me, and to keep the legacy strong. Being able to be a part of that is also important to me. Another thing is my wife's family is from the area, and being closer to grandparents for my kids is a super important thing as well, because the other side is 2,000 miles away. So it's important that we're close to family as well.
How much does your experience help you in recruiting? Obviously, the roster has a lot of in-state recruits, but you mm-hmm. also have some international flavor on the roster.
Yeah.
How much does that help you, you know, to get some of those, you know, recruits that maybe were like you and had no idea what America was like, let alone a place like Laramie, to come here and thrive?
Yeah. So that's another thing where looking at recruits and looking at athletes, sometimes you kind of pigeonholed city kids, let's say city kids or international kids, to, or they want a big city experience, or they want something more familiar to what they are used to or what they think America is. But that's not necessarily the case. A lot of times when you bring somebody, for example, from Italy or from Europe, they know what they're getting into. They are seeking a new experience. They want their 4 or 5 years to be totally different than what they've experienced in their first 18 years of life. So, you know, that's an angle I look at things at. College should be an experience. It should be different. It's part of what it's supposed to be. So selling that and making that the forefront of our pitch is super important, and it helps in terms of bringing diverse people into the state and into our college.
Yeah, before I came back to Wyoming, I worked in Oregon, in Eugene, covering the Ducks. Obviously, that's Track Town USA, and for most NCAA track and field athletes, that's the goal, is to get to Eugene when they're hosting, which they are this year. Yes. They have a new Hayward Field, which is ridiculous. I'm sure you were at the old Hayward Field, which is historically
been, yes.
awesome. I met you in Eugene a couple years ago, and you know, I wanted to mention Nathan Reed because I'm sure that's really affected you personally, your life. He was, you know, on the cusp of being the next great Wyoming thrower, shot put, discus. He was killed last summer, I believe, in a car accident. Mm-hmm. How was that, dealing with not only that and the loss of such a great life, but I'm sure you were a good go-between with his family to kind of deal with that whole situation?
It has been. You know, losing somebody that young with so much promise is very difficult. It's been a tough year. It's been, you know, we ebb and flow in terms of the emotion of it all. One of the things that has kept us strong, and me personally strong throughout, is, you know, the kindred spirit of sport that is the first thing that has brought us all together, and it's something that has the bond with Nathan, that's where it started, is, like I said before, being somewhere and doing something that you totally would not have done. I related to that with him. And knowing how he was and what his goals and what he wanted to do and be started with his love for his sport. And the legacy that he left is a legacy of perseverance. And that's what we, and me personally, have tried to do since losing him last summer, is persevere through tough times.
Of course, Nathan was from Jamaica, so, you know, mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of miles between Trinidad and Jamaica, but you probably still, you know, a similar background with
yes.
Nathan.
So it's funny, the rivalry is very, very strong. Up until you move out from the Caribbean. So you start off as enemies, as kids. talking about that regional meet, we all, it's a rite of passage for young track and field athletes. And then you come out to America, and then you become teammates, you become closer because things are so similar. Sometimes you don't see it when you're back home because Trinidad is over here, Jamaica's over there, Barbados is over there, and you come together because you realize how closely related everyone is. So it's one of those things.
Speaking of closely related, obviously this athletic department is interconnected and tight-knit. I imagine the tragedy with the four swimmers probably brought Nathan and everything home. Did that just add another huge wound to the track program?
Absolutely. It's just so difficult losing young people. It's tough because, you know, they're just getting started. They were just getting started in life. And it's just hard to go through that for their parents, for their loved ones, for their friends. It's just very difficult. And yes, absolutely, not even a year has gone by and, you know, tragedy strikes again. So it's been tough. It's been a tough year for everyone in the department.
Before we transition into the Mountain West Championships, which are coming up this weekend in Fresno, I want to mention another unique international talent you guys have, Kareem Marsal. You know, he's All-American in the indoors, you know, Mountain West record. You know, he's redshirting this year to focus on the Olympics. He has an Egyptian and an Italian background.
Yes.
Can you just talk about Kareem, his unique path, and maybe, you know, his shot maybe at going to Paris in the Olympics if all everything goes well?
Kareem's been great. It's been a slow burn for him. This is his fourth year on campus, and we've worked through a lot. He's blossomed. He's learned a lot. I've learned a lot from him, and it's a situation where he just kept improving steadily, and that improvement and his will to be good is bearing a lot of fruit right now. Like you said, he had a stellar indoor season, and with the opportunity he has on the Italian team to potentially make a European championship as well as an Olympic team, we thought it was important that, you know, it only happens once every 4 years, so we thought it was important for him to give this a full go. So that's one of the decisions we made to have him redshirt and focus on making those teams. So it's very exciting for him. The job isn't done yet. He still has a ways to go, but he's on the right track in potentially making those teams.
And of course, you have two stellar long jumpers on the men's side. Renard Pitter is also an All-American from the indoor side. Where is he right now in his form, and as far as now that it's go time in terms of Mountain West Championships, then the NCAA Regional, then the NCAAs, how do you kind of feel about, you know, his spring and what's ahead?
Well, Ramar, he's a Wyoming boy. He came to us from Gillette, and him very similarly to Kareem. Ramar's only a sophomore. He has progressed tremendously in just the, I would say, what are we, 18 months that he's been on campus. He had a stellar indoor season. We've had some bumps in the road. It's expected for someone as young as he is in college, as well as how low his training age has been in terms of being a track-only person. He was a multi-sport guy in high school, so track and field has been fairly new to him. I wouldn't say totally new, but fairly new to him. So we've had some bumps in the road. We're hoping to have that turnaround here as we start championship season. He has the ability and the potential to make it all the way, but we have to make some steps here early to achieve those goals.
And how stacked is the Mountain West men's side of that? I mean, you also have Hunter Brown, who won the Colorado State most recent meet. Just how do you kind of see Wyoming faring at the Mountain West?
So like you said, it's very competitive on the men's side. It is not as top heavy as it has been in the past, but there's going to be quite a few guys. It's going to be a very tight, very well contested competition. So I would say on the top end, it isn't as high caliber as it has been in the last few years, but there are so many guys that will be contending for top three spots that it's going to be a nail biter for sure.
Then on the women's side, Sadie McMullen and Joan Easter were 1-2 at Colorado State. And then in the triple jump, you have Elaine Chaffee. How do you kind of see the women's team? Are they rounding into form heading to Fresno?
They are. You know, it's one of those things in track and field. It's not like wrestling. We're not putting hands on anybody.
Yeah.
So our goal really is to do what you're capable of doing. What the results are, that's what it's going to be. But if we can do what we're capable of, we'll be in a good position. For instance, Sadie McMullen, she is a top performer, but it's a very competitive conference on the women's side. I don't know if the listeners are familiar with the long jump, but there's about 10 women who are 20 feet or better in the women's long jump in our conference. So it could be anybody's game. Sadie is capable of 20 foot high into 21 feet. Joan is capable of 19 high. Elena is capable of 19 foot. We are really, that's our goal, is do what you're capable of and then see what the competition says. You know, we don't have to sweep the legs, so to say. So if we do what we're capable of, we will finish well. But there's no telling what the competition is going to do as well.
Yeah, and Quincy, just talking to you before, I know Fresno's, you know, been the long-term host of this Mountain West Championships, and you guys feel really good about the facility and the venue and the weather and everything. What's kind of the key to getting the best out of these young athletes?
There's a couple things. Being comfortable in a new environment. As we all know, the spring this year has been a challenge, and the swing in average temperature is going to be probably 30 degrees. So big thing, stay hydrated. Another big thing, stay out of the sun as much as we want to be in it. We got to stay out of it. We are process driven. If we follow the protocol, follow the process that we've been drilling all year long, the results are gonna show. I think that's the big thing for our team right now, is do what we've been doing all year, and we should finish in the positions that we're supposed to.
Are you guys like football in terms of, like, right now it's super windy out, not mm-hmm. ideal temperature either. Do you just practice indoor, or do you make them go outside?
I'll speak for just the crew that I work with. We're inside. Sometimes with too much wind, it's a detriment in the long jump and triple jump, just because it's hard to gauge and hone in on that accuracy. It's a big part of our event is accuracy. There's a lot of people in the basketball world that can jump really far. But when we add that accuracy part, it's a big part of the event. And being inside allows us to still work on those things, even when it's windy out. For the rest of the team, they're in the elements. You know, we're cowboy tough out here. I say we, they are. but yeah, we get a lot done inside, and we go out when we can, when the wind and weather does not affect the technical part of what we're trying to do.
All right, Quincy. Well, thanks so much for joining the One Wyoming podcast. Good luck in Fresno at the Mountain West Championships.
Well, thank you so much, and go Pokes.
Welcome back to the One Wyoming podcast. Ryan Thorburn here. Pleased to be joined by Brian Berryhill, the head track and field coach at Wyoming. First of all, Brian, thanks for joining the pod.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I know Mountain West Championships are this weekend. We're going to get into that. But, you know, I let Quincy Howe kind of brag about being on the Mountain West 25th anniversary team. So I'll let you do the same. You're also on there, obviously, 10-time All-American at Colorado State. Won the national championship in the indoor mile, the outdoor 1500. Was that kind of cool to be a part of that?
It was, and it's a 25th year, and I think I go all the way back to the 25. My career was split between the Old Western Athletic Conference and the Mountain West Conference. So that was a long time ago, but enjoyed my days competing, and it's an honor to be on that list.
Obviously, Quincy talked about, you know, his journey from the Caribbean to living in Laramie for almost two decades. You're coming from the other side of the border war to be in Wyoming's head coach for a long time now. What's that been like, just being on both sides of that rivalry for so many years?
Yeah, I mean, it's been good. You know, I enjoyed my time as an athlete at Colorado State. I had good coach back then, met my wife down there. So a lot of good came from that, but absolutely love the state of Wyoming, this university, and couldn't see myself being anywhere else. So very happy as a Cowboy right now.
Of course, that's a good transition because you guys just had a meet down there in Fort Collins and you had some really good individual results. We'll go through some of them and kind of how that relates to gearing up for this Mountain West Championship run here. But I guess I'll start with Gabby Droob from Gillette, CSU meet record in the 400 hurdles. She's had a great season, kind of a breakout season in that event. What can you say about her form right now and how far she's come?
Yeah, Gabby's running really well, and Coach Santos has done a great job getting her to this point. And one of the hardest working kids on the team. You know, we really appreciate everything she does for us. And being from Gillette in the state of Wyoming and just seeing her develop from where she was in high school to now being the number one ranked 400-meter hurdler in the conference, pretty special. She's a neat kid, and like I say, she works really hard every day.
Of course, Taylor Weidinger is right there with her in the same event, 400 hurdles. How does that dynamic, having two, you know, athletes like that practicing together, help them in meets?
It helps a lot. They push each other each and every day. You know, Taylor was a transfer from Oregon State, has just been here this 1 year, but the transition for her has been really smooth, and her and Gabby have got along since day one, and they're great training partners for each other. And, you know, 400-meter hurdles is a tough race, and you need to have a training partner out there to push you each and every day.
You know, staying on the women's side, Salma El-Badra, she set the new UW standard in the 800. She was first in the indoor mile in the 300 record holder here. Freshman of the week, I believe, in the Mountain West. Has she been a pleasant surprise, or when you recruited her, did you feel like this is someone that could do some special things?
You know, when we recruited Salma, we knew she was talented, but I think she's even more talented than we ever thought, and she works hard, and she's a great competitor. Maybe that's one of her best attributes. She's a fierce competitor, and but, yeah, we knew she was talented, but I think she's done a little bit more this early in her career, being a freshman and having the transition of coming all the way over here to Wyoming. And, you know, I got to remind myself, she's only been here since January. So yeah, it's pretty special what she's been able to do in such a short amount of time.
Quincy hit on a lot of the jumpers, but, you know, Daniel Reynolds, another transfer, a Division II standout, you know, he sets the Wyoming hammer throw record that, you know, it stood for, I think, a quarter century. Did you see that D2 success would translate immediately? And, you know, how exciting is that he could, you know, do some special things in these meets that are coming up?
Yeah, Daniel, another one that he's just a great competitor. You can see it, you get to competition day and he's going to go out there and give you his best. Works really hard in the weight room. Coach Barrett was really excited that when we were recruiting him out of Shattern State, and I think he's been everything we thought he would and a little bit more. So, yeah, we're excited to see what he can do this week out in Fresno.
And Cam Burkett in the shot put, you know, he won the CSU event. You got to feel good about some of these throws and maybe, you know, some special things happening this spring. Just can you talk a little bit about Cam and how he's impacted this team?
Yeah, another Wyoming kid out of Casper there at Kelly Walsh. And Cam's had a great season so far, keeps getting better and better each meet. Coach Barrett, again, has done a great job getting him to this point. He's been really consistent. He just lost out at the indoor championships. He was in the lead all the way until the very last throw from the CSU kid. So he's been very motivated to make sure that doesn't happen again.
And do you have any sprinters that you think could, you know, surprise at the Mountain West Championships?
Yeah, you know, Carter McComb's been getting a lot better. He's another Wyoming kid there out of Sheridan. You know, 400-meter hurdles, I guess you can call it a long sprint, but that's a huge event for us on the men's and on the women's side. And then Jay Cox has been stellar for us his whole career. This is his last go at the Mountain West Championships, and he just keeps getting better and better in that 400. And he's motivated to make that final and hopefully be all conference.
When you look at the Mountain West Championships, which are this weekend in Fresno, on the men's side, how do you kind of see, you know, who, how that stacks up conference-wide?
Yeah, you know, on the men's side, coming into the year, we felt really good about our team. We've had a few injuries going through the indoor season into this outdoor season, and we're redshirting Kareem Rasal, who's a multiple-time conference champion for us. So, you know, we're leaving a few kids in Laramie that we wish were going with us, but with that said, we feel confident with the team we have. Our distance runners are running phenomenal right now. So we're excited to see what they can do in the 1500, the steeple, the 5K, the 10K. And I think it's a good group we're taking out there, and we're confident with the team that's going to be getting on the plane.
Do you feel like you have some distance runners on the male side that could compete for a Mountain West Championship?
Yeah, you know, Mason Norman's running really well. Riker in the steeple, Albert in the steeple. We got some kids there that are going to do some special things here this week.
Female side, obviously, we mentioned Gabby Droob. Is there any others that you think could vie for individual championships, and how do you see the overall women's team race?
Yeah, you know, on the women's side, I don't know if we were real happy with how the indoor championships ended. I feel a lot better with how that team is overall right now going into Fresno. Gabby, you know, ranked number one, has a great shot there. Selma, I think, has a really good shot in the 800 and the 1500. So hopefully get a couple conference championships there. But, you know, one thing, we walked away from the indoor meet. We had a lot of kids finish in that 9 to 12 spot, which you got to make the final to score points. So we got to find a way to move up a place or two and get in the final so we can score points for the team.
Yeah, just talking to Quincy earlier today, he said, you know, there's probably four or five athletes in this program that could make the NCAA championships in Eugene. What would that mean to you guys to not just have one or two, but to have a, you know, a real contingent out there?
Yeah, that would be special. And there's maybe not a better place to go than Eugene, Oregon. So to see those kids get that chance, to see all their hard work and dedication and determination pay off would be huge. And Quincy's right. We have quite a few kids, I think, that not only are going to the NCAA first rounds, but have a legit shot to make it to Eugene.
What does that say about this program, that that's possible? Because, I mean, if you go outside right now, it's super windy, super cold. You know, you guys do a great job of having a lot of Wyoming kids on the team and then some really talented kids from around the world. It's kind of amazing when you think about it, isn't it?
It is. You know, I think our kids are cowboy tough. And, yeah, the weather hasn't been great this spring. It's been a little cold and a little windy at times. But I think they take pride in that. You know, we're going to Fresno where it's going to be 95 degrees. Going to take a lot of sunscreen, try to keep them out of the sun. But, you know, very proud of the kids on this team and what they've done to this point.
All right, Brian. Well, good luck this weekend. I know this is the big time of year for you guys, and you know, it's an exciting time of year for some of these athletes that are posting these distances and times and marks.
Well, thank you, Ryan, and go Pokes.
All right, thanks everybody for tuning in to the One Wyoming Podcast. Make sure you subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.